You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Hey, so it's Father's Day. Lately, Lauren and I, we've been really understanding the importance of being a dad or being a mom, you know, fathering and mothering. You know, sometimes, you know, kids do certain things and you're like, man, my job's real important. You know what I'm talking about? Those certain things are usually bat crap crazy, right? Kids do something, you go, I gotta take my job serious as a dad, as a mom, right? Anyone else have those moments? Yeah, we have those moments. Like this week, was it yesterday or the day before? We come downstairs and one of our kids is peeing in the kitchen bin. We're like, that's not where you pee, son. It's like, I really needed to go. You know, you have these moments where you teach your kids to do all sorts of things. And like, I've told my kids that anytime they want, that they're outside and not at school, they can pee on the tree, right? Makes sense, doesn't it, right? Like, if there's a tree, you can pee on it, right? But somehow it got misunderstood and they thought if you need to pee, you can pee anywhere, whenever you want. And so we had a teaching moment yesterday that the kitchen bin, or the rubbish bin, sorry, trash can. I was trying to think of what you call it here. The trash can is not where you pee, all right? Come on, everyone, repeat after me. The trash can, it's not where you pee. Some of you are ready to go home now. You've already had your revelation. A miracle and a revelation. What more do we need today? We need an epiphany. There we go. All right. There'll be one later. So actually, Nathan Veach nearly had an epiphany earlier. He was sitting on the front row praying because he's hosting the service and he's going to do the offering word a little later. And he was praying on the front row and all of a sudden, bright light. He's like, God? But no, Troy opened the door next to him and the sun shone in there and he thought he was having an epiphany. But I have discovered that my job as a father is really very important and that my role as a male role model in my children's life will tell them and show them and teach them many things about life, about men, and about family, right? Now, I don't care what anybody says, and I'm not being political, I'm not being anything. I don't care what anybody says. Men and women are different, right? It's just a fact, all right? Just look at any part of your body, you're different than your wife, or you're different than your husband, all right? We're different, okay? And it's okay, we have different roles, you know? It's not sexist to say that 9 out of 10 men are stronger than 9 out of 10 women, and 1 out of 10 women, you know, could beat me up. But, because like, I'm the weakest of the men, and there is a woman out of every 10 that can destroy me. But we are different, aren't we, right? And there's different God-ordained roles that we fulfill. And I'm not talking about submission. I'm not talking about anyone lording anything over anyone. And I'm not talking at all about women being quiet in church. Can I get an amen from the women in church? Thank you very much. Yell out again, women, just to prove a point. There we go. And so I'm not talking about that, but we are created different, right? Equal value, equal worth, different people, right? And so I've just taken my role as a dad. I've just realized that there's things that I have to do as a dad, all right? There's things I have to teach my boys, things I have to do to show my daughter what a man should be like in her life. And so Lauren and I have been making a lot of decisions in our family lately, financial decisions. What kind of financial footing do we want our children to start on? We've had to think about that a lot and make good decisions, wise decisions, and ask God to bless them as we honor Him in those decisions. Amen? Educational decisions. What kind of educational experience do we want them to have? Weighing up private schools and Christian schools and academically and spiritually and seeing, do our kids stay in public school, in secular schooling for a bit longer, or do we transition them soon? We've had to think about these things, you know. Our kids are staying in public school for the time being. Work ethic discussions. Have got to teach our kids how to work. We've been having behavioral discussions. For example, don't pee in the rubbish bin, right? And spiritual teaching discussions, that being a mother, being a father is an important job. And good dadding and good mumming is not something that happens by default, but it's a choice that we will make. Amen? It's a choice that we make. However, it's never ever too late to make some positive change or direction in your kids' lives. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, it's never too late to make some positive changes and some positive directions and some great influence in your kid's life. I want to tell you, I need my dad still now, right? And so it's never too late. It's never, ever too late. And so today we want to recognize the value of men and specifically of fathers in families. Now, I can't stand up here as a perfect dad. Oh, my word, I cannot. Now, Lauren's pretty darn good, but I bring the average right down in our parenting skills in our house. We're by no means the greatest parents on the planet. We make mistakes. We raise our voices and realize we shouldn't have at times. Sometimes we raise our voices, get annoyed when a kid's like, "Dad, dad, 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 dad." And you're like, "Stop, stop, 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 stop." And you realize actually someone's about to get crushed by a motor vehicle and you really should have listened the first time, right? We all make those mistakes, right? Where we ignore kids when we shouldn't, where we raise our voices when we shouldn't. We're by no means perfect parents. We've had that day when we let our kids play Nintendo for the whole day because we just can't be bothered parenting, right? We've had that day too. We aren't perfect. We don't stand here pretending to be perfect. In fact, one of the worst parenting mistakes that a parent can make is pretending to be perfect, creating this illusion for our children that we never mess up. And so when they do mess up, they feel worthless. Or when they discover that we've messed up, they feel cheated. So we don't want to ever pretend that we're perfect. It's the same with our faith, isn't it? You know, as a pastor, I don't ever want you to think I'm perfect. That's one of the reasons I let you know so often, so very often, that I am not perfect and that I have downfalls and that there are parts of me that praise God, I've submitted to God and I'm still that He's still chiseling off my life and I'm getting better and better, right? We say it all the time. I'm not where I need to be, but thank God He's brought me away from where I used to be, right? So I'm on a journey. Don't get me wrong. I'm a hell of a lot better than I used to be. Praise God, right? Can I get an amen? Amen. Right? But I'm not where I'm going to be yet, but I am on my journey. You know, for the same two reasons. Number one, I don't want you to feel worthless and useless as a child of God because you can't measure up to the illusion of Christian perfection that I've created for you in my life. And number two, I don't want you to feel cheated when I drop a hammer on my foot and cuss like a sailor. Or when you follow me in traffic not knowing that it's me and you're mad as a cut snake at the black truck in front of you. You finally catch up to me at the traffic light and you see me and your faith is destroyed because you thought I was a responsible driver. I'm getting better. Dropped my car off at Schottenkirk a couple of months ago and they pointed out kindly that my tires are rather worn for a vehicle of its age. It had nothing to do with me. I'll lend the car to a lot of people. So, let's not fall into the trap of holding up the word of God to our kids and to the world and saying that this is how we live. Some of you are a bit stunned right now. We've been told all of our lives we need to hold this up and tell the world, this is how we live. It's not. It's not. It's not true even. This isn't how we live, right? I don't hold this up to my kids or to my friends or to my family and say, this is how I live. This is how we live and all you who don't are doomed. Instead, understanding the grace of Jesus Christ, we hold the word of God up and say, this is how we ought to live, right? This is how we try to live. This is how we want to live. This is how we strive to live. And I'm down here looking to the word of God like everyone else, trying to do what God has called me to do and trying not to do what God has asked me not to do. And I don't measure up all the time, but thank God He's brought me closer and closer to what this great book says that I should do. Can I get an amen? Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise because that's good right there. See, because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ on the cross, you can hold this up and say, I'm not there yet, but this is where I'm going, right? And so we don't hold this thing up to the world and say, this is how I live, you should too. Because they're going to feel cheated when they discover that one thing that you're doing that doesn't line up with this. And if they don't feel cheated and they bought the lie then they're going to feel useless and worthless because they can't quite get there. And it's the same with our kids. Don't make the mistake telling your kids that you do everything right. Let them see you as their hero in your weakness, reaching out to God and saying, God, I need you. And if you haven't figured it out yet, today's sermon is off topic. We're going off topic for Father's Day. Old school Jesus is going to have to wait another week for its next installment. But we're going to stick with a bit of old school nurse. Can we do that? Old school dad. How's that sound, right? We'll call it hashtag how to dad or hashtag old school dad. But today we're going to read from 1 Samuel. If you haven't read any of 1 or 2 Samuel, it'll blow your stinking mind. Great, great stuff in there. Great book of the Bible. So read those when you get a chance. It's a crazy read. You'll love it. But right now, if we could have the house lights off, turn the lights off, we're going to listen to Pastor Brad Thomas up there on the screen.
I want to wish a happy Father's Day to all of you dads out there. I hope you have a wonderful day. Right now, I'm going to read a story about Samuel, who was kind of like a father figure to the children of Israel. And Samuel said to all Israel, "Behold, I have obeyed your voice in all that you have said to me, and have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walks before you, and I am old and gray. And behold, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my youth until this day. Here I am, testify against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose donkey have I taken, or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed, or from whose hand have I taken a bribe to blind my eyes with it? Testify against me, and I will restore it to you." They said, "You have not defrauded us, or oppressed us, or taken anything from any man's hand." And then from verse 12, "And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us,' when the Lord your God was your king. And now, behold, the king whom you have chosen, for whom you have asked, behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, it will be well. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and your king. Now therefore, stand still and see this great thing that the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call upon the Lord that he may send thunder and rain, and you shall know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking for yourselves a king." So Samuel called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die. For we have added to all our sins this evil, to ask for ourselves a king." And Samuel said to the people, "Do not be afraid. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord. But serve the Lord with all your heart, and do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver you, for they are empty. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. And I will instruct you in the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king."
Awesome. Come on, a great story in there, eh? So if you don't know what's going on there, it's easy to be a little confused. You're like, what did they do wrong? They asked for a king. What's so wrong with that? You see, on the basis of the story is that Israel was in a wonderful and unique position, and that the person who was in charge, so to speak, was a man of God. He was a prophet, the man who heard the voice of God. He had access to the power of God. The man's name was Samuel. But Israel, in its desire to be like everyone else, like all the other nations, didn't want that kind of system anymore. They wanted a king. They wanted a man who was just a man to be their ruler. And this frustrated Samuel, and it frustrated the Lord, because not because Samuel loses power, but because that system works. Amen? A man hearing from God works, right? A man or a woman or a person hearing from God works and changes lives. But nevertheless, Samuel did not get angry with them and refused to be good to them. You see, Samuel was like a father figure to the people of Israel. Now, whatever was going on, even in the midst of King Saul's neglect of God and his ways, Samuel was still there. Samuel was the prophet that anointed King David. Samuel didn't give up. Samuel didn't run away. Samuel didn't turn a deaf ear to them. He was like a father to Israel. And right there at the end of the passage from verse 23 to 25, Samuel shows us four very important things that a father should do for his children. You want to hear it? Come on, you want to hear it? Yeah, come on, that's good. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, and consider what great things he has done for you. If you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will perish. See, he did four things that I believe we must do as parents, mums, dads, single parents, and especially as fathers or father figures in people's lives. They were pray, teach, show, and warn. Pray for your children, teach them right from wrong, show them how to fear God and serve him faithfully, and warn them what happens when we remove God from our lives. You ready for it? So pray. This is perhaps the most important thing you must do as a father or parent. You got to pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. If you are a friend of people with children, pray for their children. Amen? If you don't have any children and you want children, pray for the children you're going to have. Amen? If you don't have any children and you can't have children, but there are children in your life and you're like a mother figure, father figure in their lives, pray for those children. Don't neglect the ones that God has put in our lives. You got to pray for them, at least in your quiet time and at best with them. No matter what they've done, pray. When you're with them, don't use prayer as manipulation, but as love. Come on, we should all commit as parents to never let one more day go past without praying for our kids, shouldn't we? Come on, hands up if you want to commit to doing that with me today. Never ever let another day go past without praying for your kids. If you're a young man or a young woman and you're excited to get married one day and have kids and have a family, a godly family that's in church honoring God, you know what? You need to start praying for them now. You know what? You can be a single young man and pray to God for the kids you don't have yet, right? Come on, I still pray for the people that aren't even in our church yet. You can do the same in your family. Let's make that commitment. And if you're a father figure, pray for them kids too. If you had a bad dad, then you do this. Be better than he was to you. Bring Jesus into your kids' life and world. Shows them that they'll never be alone. They're always accepted by God, and that they can ask him for anything. Is that good? Can we pray for our kids? Number two, teach them. This is really fun. You can have a lot of fun with this, hey? You can really mess your kids up here. Some friends and I used to laugh about how funny it would be to teach our kids the opposite to society. You know, so they go to school and they say blue is red. Yes means no, and no means yes. Cars are called calculators, and calculators are called bananas. So they go to school and ask for a banana so they can do their math quiz, right? Is it just me and my friends that were that dumb that thought that would be hilarious to do that to your kids? Like, yeah, good. I'm not. Hands up if you thought of how funny that would be. Come on, be honest, right? Wow, I'm not surprised that Charlie's the only one with me, right? But, yeah, come on, somebody else is, right? And so, I don't think that would be hilarious. The kid, for the first 7 years of his life, thinks that a calculator's called a banana. That's hilarious. To me, anyway. We have had some serious issues in our family. Accidentally, of course. Because in Australia, as you know, words have different meanings than they do here. And as you know, I've made some mistakes up here on stage. Cussed you guys out a couple of times, not realizing that's what I was doing. And then enjoying it a little too much. Words are different all over the place. In Australia, doodle means a whole nother thing. And if you have your class drawing pictures and ask them to see their doodles, my kid's going to show you something you did not want to see. It's just how it's going to happen. It's going to unfold a lot different than you saw it unfolding in your mind. Same with an eraser. My son asked his teacher for a rubber, and that did not go so well. Because teaching is fun, isn't it? And things are different all over the place, but we got to teach them things, right? It's important. If you're a hunter, you get to teach your kids how to hunt and how to safely and responsibly use all the equipment. If you're a gamer, you get to teach your kids how to game. Come on. I'm enjoying teaching my kids how to play Halo. It's the only game I know how to play on the thing. It's the only one. You get to teach them how to play ball. Teach them how to throw and catch. Teach them how to go camping. We tried that a couple of weeks ago. Apparently it was too hot. So we'll do that again in a couple of months. Too hot. Like, are you a man or a mouse? Are you Australian or American? Come on now. There's no such thing as too hot when you're from Australia, you little punk. We're talking about the two that were born there. Come on now. But most importantly, you have to teach your kids, as Scripture shows us, we got to teach them what's right and what's wrong, don't we? If you don't teach your kids what's right and wrong and have those specific conversations and actions and movements, they're going to learn it somewhere else. They're going to learn it somewhere else and from someone else. And so Scripture shows us we got to teach our kids what's right and what's wrong. Teach them what to do and what not to do. Then it says show them. You need to show them how to fear God. What's that mean? It doesn't mean tremble in the corner and freak out because God's going to get you. Have a healthy respect for who He is, what He's done, and what He can do in your life. Amen. Teach your kids how to fear God, how to have a respect for God, who He is, that He's the creator of the universe, that He designed it all, that it's all happening under His plan, that God is good, to chase after God, teach them to love God, to follow God, to chase Him, teach them to serve God, amen? Show your kids how to serve God at church by being at church, by loving your community and the people around you, by being kind. Show them how to be generous and how to give. They'll not believe you that God is a priority in your life if church is something we only sometimes do and prayer is something they never see you do. We have to teach our kids how to serve God, how to respect Him for who He is, amen? And the last thing it talks about is to warn them. To warn them. We need to be bold enough and lovingly enough to warn our kids what a life without God is like. Warn them that life without Jesus is hard. It's no life at all. Warn them that life without Christ is life without someone by your side. Without Him, who will you turn to for your help? And encourage them that if they live a hard life on their own without God, that it's never too late to call out to Jesus for salvation, for help, for hope, for peace. Amen. He's always listening. He's always ready to save. You know, the beauty is that if we do all the other things that Scripture shows us, that we can be confident that our kids will, in their old age, be chasing after Jesus. You know that? But sometimes you hear a Scripture or a sermon like this, and you find yourself feeling like you lack a bit. You know what I mean? Sometimes you hear a Scripture like this, and you find yourself saddened by what you're not, instead of encouraged by what you can be with Christ. Amen. What we don't want is people in church feeling saddened by what they're not. Instead, we want people to be encouraged by what they can be. Philippians 4:13 says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Did you hear that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. Someone say all things. How many things? All the things. Is being a good dad a part of the things? All things. Is being a good mom a part of the things? All things. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Would you stand up as the band comes back up? There have been a ton of times in the 7.5 years that I've been a dad that I have needed to ask God for help. A ton of times. my Facebook and my Instagram and my Twitter. And at one point, my Google Plus, which I don't even think exists anymore, was full of good things. All the good dad moments that I've had, right? I know yours is too. No one videos themselves going bat crap crazy at their kids and puts it on Facebook and goes, look what I did today. Y'all are freaking out like DHS is going to turn up and take your kid. You know, you're like, what am I doing? Come on. None of us Facebook those moments, do we? You don't. And yet you think that Facebook is the only moments that my family has. Or that Facebook is the only moments that Shanna's and Nathan's family has. You know, there's been a ton of times where I've had to call out for God to help me be the man He called me to be. A ton of times I've had to call out to God and say, God, I've messed up. But like we learned last week, that even when I've messed up, His face is still on me. And I can still ask Him for anything in His name. And it will be done for me on earth as it is in heaven. That even when I mess up in my dadding, that He has a Hosea kind of love for me. That at no moment in that journey did His face turn away from me. In fact, He's as in love with me in that moment, in the belly, in the pit of my failure, that He is the peak of the mountain. And He has a Hosea, never stopping, unrelenting kind of love for you and for me, in my highs and my lows. And no matter where you've been on the scale that you created in your mind of what's good and what's bad of being a dad or being a mom or being a parent or just being a person. If in your heart you believe in Jesus Christ and have accepted Him as Lord and Savior of your life, His face is still on you and you can ask Him. And you can be anything He's called you to be. And you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You know, today is Father's Day, and I do specifically want to honor dads specifically and encourage you that He's got your back. I want to remind you, you actually can't do this alone. I'm specifically talking to dads, right? You want to be the man, right? Be the man that shows the kids that the man needs the God. Yeah? If you want to do something for your kids, be that man. Be that man. And if you feel like you've fallen short, I want you to be encouraged today. His face is on you. His love is chasing you. And that you can still do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And it's not too late to be anything He called you to be. But broadly for all of you now, moms, dads, grandparents, grandchildren, kids, single people, married people, double income, no kids people, double income, stacks of kids people, they're the discs. Discs, sorry, I did, that probably sounded funny with my accent, sorry. But no matter where you are, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What have you been called to be? What has God put on your heart to do? What is that thing that whenever you're surrounded by the people of God or whenever you're in His presence, what's that thing that just leaps in your heart that you feel like you need to do? I want to tell you, you can do all things. You can do anything through Christ who gives you strength. He also says that He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or even imagine. And you can also do all things through Christ who gives you strength.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.